Pretty, you guys aren't seeing this, but we're watching on Zoom. Pretty rough cut guy, nice 5 o'clock shadow, camo hat, the whole works.
He's,
you know,
he's the closest thing to a GQ model that we've had on.
Exactly, exactly.
Oh, I appreciate that, but, gentlemen.
But, did you ever take any crap for drinking strawberry lemonade cider? I mean, other than you're like, hey, I own the company.
Well,
but
well, yeah. You know, let's be clear. A couple of things. Growing up in Armada, you know, I'm a Busch Light, Bud Light guy, okay, drinker, and you know, so I make no qualms about that. But you know, we kind of understand where our bread is buttered. 65% of our, you know, demographic is female.
There is a podcast in Iowa, Farm for Profit was named by they. They stirred up a banker near, then quick came an auctioneer. Making profit was their first goal, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Soon may the farmers come to bring us guests and beer and fun. One day when the recording's done, we'll take our mics and go. These formats shook us to our core, with Farm for Fun you will not snore. The banker set all mics to on, and the mullet of podcasts was born. Soon may the farmers come to bring us guests and beer and fun. One day when the recording's done, we'll take our mics and go. Before we knew, conversations grew. Growing corn even said F you. So won't you join Tenor Dave, Corey and crew? Please like, share, review. Soon may the farmers come to bring us guests and beer and fun. One day when the recording's done, we'll take our mics and go.
All right. It's time for a Farm for Fun episode. This is Tanner Winterhoff.
This is Corey Hillebo.
And this is David Whitaker.
Thank you so much for joining us again, listeners. We know your ears could be a lot of different places, and you chose this episode, and we promise not to disappoint. You are the reason this podcast is gone and continues to go where it's going. Thank you for sharing, liking, rating, and leaving those reviews, especially one just like this. Our listener review today is brought to you by Brandt, where nobody works harder than Brandt to keep you productive and profitable. We like to think that there's no podcast that tries to do more of that than Farm for Profit. So let's see what you had to say about it.
The new Brandt XT Grain Card delivers unmatched forward auger reach, side auger reach, and discharge spout clearance for easy positioning, with sight lines that allow you to actually see what you're doing while you're doing it, saving you time with each load and getting you back to the combine sooner. They say hindsight is 20/20. We say seeing what's in front of you is better. Lead the field with the new XT Grain Card from Brandt.
So our listener review this week is A Anderson_80. I think I know who that is.
Aaron?
Is that another?
A Anderson.
Aaron.
Is he a BTO?
Maybe. Maybe. I think it's a buddy that I went to high school with.
Oh, that's
cool. If that's right, I'm sure there's a lot of Aaron Andersons.
Summer series.
Mm-hmm. Or I'm saying Aaron, so that's what I'm assuming. It could be something else.
A Anderson.
Yeah. All right. Well, his review is really enjoying the summer series you guys are doing. Even though it's more focused on the Farm for Fun spinoff, there is still a lot of insightful content that comes out of it. These guys put on some really good stuff. So thanks, buddy.
Yeah. We'll go with buddy because everyone who listens is one of our buddies.
Yeah.
Also, don't forget about Estes Concaves. They're working hard to help stop your rotor loss in your combine. They increase profitability by helping you combine faster with less damage to your grain. You got yours in yet, Corey?
I just started working on them today.
You got to get to
this. Well, so I can't put them in yet, right?
Oh, that's right, because you got to run your trial.
So I actually have my old concaves out. We're working on the rotor right now. Then I got to put the old concaves back on so we can go out and harvest some wet corn. And then we got to bring the combine back in the shop, put the new concaves on.
Oh, my.
And go run right next to it so I can tell you how good they are.
And that's exactly the XPR.
Yeah.
XPR2?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Nice. Go to EstesPerformanceConcaves.com. Look for those XPR2 concaves and try them out for yourself. But now is the much anticipated beginning of our show.
Shut up and sit down.
All right. Today on the Farm for Fun show, we've got a guest that has been here in studio, not in person, but with the drinks that he makes. He went to Michigan State University, came back to the farm. They were farming 800 acres and now just shy of 1,500 acres. They raised 42 different crops.
42?
And the main one, they took apples and turned them into cider. Oh. From Armada, Michigan, Andrew Blake of Blake's Hard Cider.
All right. Woo! Welcome.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
And he's at the lake on vacation, taking a little time away from R&R to come work and hang out with us.
No, this is fun. This isn't work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you know, came across your guys' show and, you know, and loved it. Love you know, anyone that's kind of you know, progressing farming and all the things that we do. So you know, kudos to you guys for putting on such a great, you know, such a great show and creating opportunities for us to all, you know, talk amongst ourselves.
Yeah, that's great. We really appreciate you joining us. Corey did a little bit in our introduction about who you are. Why don't you give your introduction of yourself for our listeners?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm a farmer. I grew up, my dad's, you know, a real farmer. My grandpa started our family farm in 1946. He was originally an engineer for Chrysler in Detroit. And actually moved north to a little town called Armada. It's spelled Armada, but and everyone does it. So unless you're from there, yeah, bought a 100-acre apple orchard, and from there turned it into you know, the first U-pick farm in Michigan, and raised 13 kids on there, which were predominantly the labor force for the farm. And my grandpa actually originally started the U-pick outfit because we couldn't make any money, you know, actually picking and selling, you know, to the markets in Detroit. So, you know, that was kind of how our family got started. My dad and uncle took it over when they graduated from Michigan State. And we expanded kind of our fruit growing operation. They took it from, you know, a couple hundred acres at the time when they took it over to, you know, about a 600 to 800 acre operation with 3 retail locations. And we were really kind of a retail, you know, U-pick farm market with a sweet cider juice business for a long time. And then, you know, as our story seems to go, we were continuously trying to find ways to, you know, maintain profitability and become profitable and become a, I hate to use the term, you know, real business, but a business that could afford, you know, real full-time help outside of the family year round. And that was a struggle that we had. So we were constantly looking for ways to extend the season. That led us into getting into Christmas trees. That led us into, you know, doing earlier stuff in the spring, such as asparagus. And next thing you know, our farming operation turned into, you know, the 40, you know, something crops that we grow today. That's all a result of, you know, really trying to expand the season. Then on top of that, you know, that worked and we were able to get people out to the farm quite often. We started adding, you know, kind of value added opportunities on the farm. So we put up restaurants, we put up, you know, a donut making room. We put up, you know, we put up a sweet cider making facility. We have an agritainment park, which is, you know, 15 acres at one of our locations. And, you know, then we filled up one location and we kind of maxed out our fall, which is our busy season. We proceeded to purchase 2 other locations. So, jeez. You know, we today, we employ about 900 employees seasonally.
Wow. Holy
cow. Yeah. And, you know, we're in, you know, still 3 locations, about to open up a 4th. And we're one of the most visited spots in Michigan, just behind Comerica Park in Detroit. And we get upwards of about 2 million people a year who come and visit our different farms. You know, so we're pretty proud of that. And we've always kind of said that, you know, we want to be, you know, we're in the business of making memories. You know, there's farmers out there that are better than us for sure, you know, on the production side of things. But we really try to be a conduit for education for, you know, customers coming out and families experiencing kind of a farm experience. I think we do that pretty well. And, you know, my contribution, was at Michigan State, wasn't quite done having fun, wanted to come back, knew I was half the farmer my dad was. And so I figured I'd find a way to turn the apples into alcohol. And, you know, that's worked out pretty well for us. So
sounds like the dream.
That's like, that's gotta be, I knew we were interviewing something that was pretty big. This has gotta be like the biggest agritourism thing in the nation, doesn't it? I mean, there has to be.
And the timing's almost perfect. Cause last night I got a DM on Instagram asking if we've ever talked to someone that's in agritourism. And the closest I had to offer them episodes was Brittany and TR Jones.
Yeah, I was going to say.
With their dairy. And a long time ago, Nikki Boxler up in New York with their maple syrup. So this is going to be a lot of fun. We don't get to talk to very many people, period, that grow this many crops, let alone have this kind of a business and sell booze.
But they want to get to the point where they could hire somebody. Now they have 900. Is that what you said?
Yeah,
I think you did it.
Yeah, be careful what you ask for, I guess. Right?
I'm just trying to wrap my head around that.
Yeah, it is crazy though. I mean, that I'm, you know, being completely, you know, honest, that was always our challenge, because we never felt as a family that we could get traction. It always felt you would spend the whole year putting all this work in. You get through harvest, the people stop coming, you shut down, you know, you regroup and you do all that, you know, you take your vacations in the winter, all the stuff we do as farmers. And then you start up again and you go backwards, you know, you don't go all the way backwards, but you're kind of, you know, you're going backwards a bit, trying to get back to where you were. And it just felt like, you know, in the spirit of trying to make progress, you know, financially and otherwise, that it was a real, you know, real challenge. And it's one that kind of led us to all these avenues. And, you know, some of them made more sense than others, but, you know, we're farmers and we're survivors, and, you know, we're going to keep trying to, you know, we're going to punch the clock every day to try to figure out how to do that. So,
Andrew, you said you went to Michigan and then Michigan State. And yes, when you came back, you had the idea to turn apples into some liquor. Was that that was your contribution to the family farm? And so now you have Blake's Hard Cider. And that's sold all over the country. Is that right?
Yeah. So we're the fastest growing hard cider company in the country. We are the seventh largest, I believe, at this point. And, you know, we're one of the few that are independently family owned and operated. And, you know, our whole slogan for Blake's Hard Cider is from our backyard. You know, the whole product and the idea is inspired from our backyard. You know, I had a really fortunate, you know, upbringing, I feel, kind of in this modern world. I grew up on one of our apple orchards, and had just, you know, one of the most unique upbringings, just kind of living on that farm, you know, with animals and running and playing on the, you know, in the trees. And I really just had a, you know, a unique opportunity. And I grew up in the chaos of our, you know, agritainment business, and I loved it. So I always had a real inclination to contribute and get back in the family business. I also know that, you know, my dad and uncle, you know, I think up until a few years ago, I never saw them take a day off in their life. And, you know, I knew that if I wanted to come back, that I didn't want to, and the business was growing at that time and we were evolving. And, you know, I was really cognizant of one, learning the current family business, which I'd grown up in and worked in my whole life, but two, you know, really trying to find an avenue to, you know, create value for the family and for the business and for our employees and our customers, but also, you know, to find something to hang my hat on a little bit, that I could at least, you know, kind of create my own lane. As I know that, you know, my dad will be, you know, my dad and uncle are, you know, going to be working within the business for, you know, many years to come. And, you know, I just felt it important for me to make sure that I felt that I was, you know, not just taking on the family business, but trying to improve it and evolve it, you know. And so Blake's Hard Cider was born actually in my dorm at Michigan State. It was actually my junior year, and I didn't get into the business school. And I was, you know, was going back and forth on the weekend back to the farm to work the weekends in the fall for beer money. And so, you know, I got the news I didn't get into the business school. I was pretty frustrated. And, you know, but I knew that I had kind of an entrepreneurial spirit. I knew I loved business. And I knew that, you know, I'd been around, you know, two great entrepreneurs, and my dad and uncle. And, you know, I knew it was in my blood. So I kind of said, you know, screw it. You know, I'm going to start, you know, you don't need the textbooks necessarily. If you want to learn something, if you want to put in the effort, you can really look at, you know, you can go learn anything you want, especially now with Google and, you know, YouTube. I mean, and so that's really where I started. I just picked up books. I went to local homebrew shops and I just started practicing. And I was lucky because we had this juice plant in our backyard back home, where I could take that juice and play with it, ferment it. And, you know, and then I was the fun guy on the weekends at college who had their own booze, and, you know, people would try it. And
yeah,
you know, kids in college, I mean, you'll drink, you know, rubbing alcohol.
Yeah.
And they'll think it's good. So, you know, people, you know, maybe my ego got a little stroked early on that people thought the stuff was decent. It wasn't, it was terrible. But, you know, it was enough to kind of say, okay, I think there's something here. And, you know, and that's kind of how it started. And then after I got a good foundation, you know, I went to other farms around the country who were doing it. You know, Mike Beck from Uncle John's Cider Mill in Michigan. I went out west and visited a few outfits out in Oregon, and everyone was just very, very open to, you know, to kind of teaching me and showing me how their operations ran. So, sorry, that's my dog. So anyways, that was kind of how the deal got started, and no plans for distribution or anything like that, but, you know, did get, you know, we started in a 1200 square foot little production facility. And now I think we're under our production facility. And then we were just going to do it for our retail locations.
Right.
And I think today we're in about under 55,000 square foot of production facility, at our one location. And, you know, I think we're adding on, you know, another 20 here before snow falls, hopefully.
Yeah.
So anyways, you know, it's been growing, and, you know, we never really had any grandiose plans with it. It was just kind of a good idea that we punched the clock with every day, and kind of, you know, things worked out and we got lucky a little bit. So
sweet.
We'll take
that's
it.
That's sweet. Quite the story.
How about we pop one open?
Yeah.
All right. Let's taste one of these. So he sent us a fantastic care package. So as you know, we've tasted some of Blake's hard cider courtesy of Dole Distributing on our episode before. So this is from the man himself. And this first one I'm excited for. This is from your backyard since 1946, Blake's Hard Cider Apple Pie.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's like 75 years old.
I feel like we should be serving this warm.
Oh, actually, I probably wouldn't be. That's probably not a bad idea, is it, Andrew?
No, they actually in the fall, you know, you throw some rum in there and you put some mulling spices. And it's like a perfect like fall drink. But this was just our 75-year homage, you know, kind of one-off apple pie product. You know, we're kind of all things apples on the farm. So we thought it was a good way to commemorate our 75th anniversary.
Apples, cinnamon, and vanilla, naturally gluten-free.
Yep.
Wow. That's
it.
This could almost be a candle. I feel like I'm drinking a candle. Mm.
I like it.
Hope it doesn't taste like a candle.
No, I've got all of this. I can't stop drinking it. This is really good.
What's the alcohol percentage on it?
6.5.
Ooh. That'll do it.
That'll do.
It is. 6.5. All right.
I'll do it.
What's your favorite Blake's hard cider?
So Triple Jam sitting in front of you, there is our number. That's the number one cider in the country. It's actually a triple berry cider. You know, that we sell, and that is the most popular cider in the country right now. So that one to me is a fan favorite because it keeps the lights on.
Yeah. I was going to say it's his favorite because it's paying the bills.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little impartial. The El Chavo, our mango habanero, that's actually with habaneros we grow on our farm as well. With the mangoes, obviously, we get shipped in. But yeah, I'm a little impartial to that one because I created that one. That was the second recipe I ever made. So,
oh wow,
that one's got a soft spot in my heart.
How do you go to your second recipe having a pepper in a cider?
He was in college. Yeah, well, that's why.
Yeah. I was in college, man. You know, just trying crazy things, experimenting.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Oh, that is great. So also on these cans, it's kind of neat. He's got a dry to sweet meter. So this apple pie that we tasted is just a little bit past halfway between dry and sweet. But this was a damn good cider.
That's very good.
Nice.
What makes it a cider? Is that just a beer that's made out of a fruit or what makes it?
Yeah, so technically the you know, so cider's technically considered a wine in the macro sense of categorization. And then, you know, kind of within that, you know, you have grape wine and then you have fruit wine. And then there's a category called cider, which is fermented apples and or pear. So it's kind of a category unto itself uniquely. So our, if you see at the top, it'll say P. Blake's Five Apple Blend. So we have a sweet cider that we sell to the public, non-alcoholic, that you know, goes to the public, and we've been having that same recipe for about, you know, 70 some odd years. And that's really the foundation for all of our juices. And, you know, we grow over 45 different varieties of apples, you know, on our farm. And, you know, our sweet cider is always comprised of, you know, five specific that make, you know, a really unique product. And we feel that that comes through in the flavor profile. People like it. And you know, it's worked for us. So, you know, always going back to our roots a little bit to draw inspiration. And, you know, the farm continues to be kind of a great muse for us. You know, as we kind of create new flavors and develop new flavors, you know, apple pie, and I think you have the caramel apple there. Those are all things you find on the farm that we try to create flavors around.
So each of these cans have the same five apple base.
That is correct.
Correct. And then you're just adding, so like strawberry lemonade, is that added before the fermented, or is it just the five apple blend fermented and then you add the flavor?
Yeah, there you go. So it's okay. the five apple blend's fermented, then the flavor's added.
Okay.
The lemonades actually, you know, have a little, they're a little bit different. The lemonade's mixed in there, mm-hmm. but all the true ciders are actually, you know, fermented and then flavor added. Yeah.
So I got to ask, like, okay, these guys might be IPA guys, right? Yeah. And I'm more the fruity drinks, like lemonade, strawberry, something. You're pretty, you guys aren't seeing this, but we're watching on Zoom. Pretty rough cut guy, nice 5 o'clock shadow, camo hat, the whole works, you know.
He's the closest thing to a GQ model that we've had on.
Exactly.
Oh, I appreciate that, gentlemen.
Did you ever take any crap for drinking strawberry lemonade cider? I mean, other than you're like, hey, I own the company.
Well, yeah. You know, let's be clear, a couple of things. Growing up in Armada, you know, I'm a Busch Light, Bud Light guy, drinker. And, you know, so I make no qualms about that. But, you know, it's really a drink, you know, first and foremost, that is extremely popular across both sexes. You know, you're finding that younger and younger people, you know, I think our generation, you know, is a little more the beer drinking, you know, kind. But I do see that the demographics are shifting, people's flavor profiles are changing, and we're happy to kind of offer that. But you know, we kind of understand where our bread is buttered. 65% of our, you know, demographic is female, and you know, I think 80% of the purchase power in alcohol, and you guys might not agree with this, but you know, when you look at the data, you know, it's the women who buy the drinks for the household. So, you know, when you kind of think about, you know, purchase power of the women, you know, purchaser, you know, those all play into, you know, working out to a pretty good business model. And, you know, we have, you know, products for men, as far as I'm concerned, our El Chavo's one that I think, you know, resonates, you know, pretty well.
You also got your flannel mouth. Is that?
Yeah. But, you know, it's also part of our job too, right? Is, you know, cider's always been this sweet, sugary, you know, fruity drink for women, you know, quite honestly. And, you know, men are starting to explore it, and we're trying to be a conduit for people to try it. And we're trying to bring things in that can bring, you know, guys in, and, you know, you're not going to drink these like you drink them, you know, Bud Lights, but, you know, I think there's an opportunity there for, you know, to grab some market share. But we know where our bread is buttered.
Yeah.
And I still love Bud Light.
I've never thought of it in the demographics like that, but it is true. Like, if I want my Busch Light, I'm actually usually picking that up at the gas station because my wife's not getting that. Or if I want bourbon, I'm getting that. But when she comes home with alcohol, it's wine or it's some new seltzer that I've never heard of before, and she tries it.
Right.
And doesn't like it.
And you end up finishing
it. And then I have to finish it because, you know, no alcohol waste.
That's the same way. I don't let my wife throw a half open. No, if she's going to try it, I will finish it. No matter how bad it is, it still gets thrown down the hatch. The other thing that I thought was kind of neat when I did a little research was the slogan that you made your ciders lighter. You talked about switching to the Mick Ultra.
Yeah.
You made your ciders lighter, but it wasn't just the fact that you took some calories out of the cider. Your whole company put a focus on, was it just health in general?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're in an interest. So I always said, like, Blake's, you know, kind of, you know, expanding the aperture out a little bit. And we talk about Blake's, you know, we really kind of hold our kind of thought process in three business models. It's food, beverage, and entertainment, you know, and obviously the farm being a key component driving all of those. And when we kind of look at, you know, servicing, you know, all of our customers, you know, I think we have to some degree take in, you know, kind of certain trends and see how we can make them relevant as it relates to what we do. And I think that that's just one that, you know, customers and consumers are looking for. You know, what's, you know, more natural, what's more, you know, healthy than, you know, actually coming and picking your own fruit, you know, and can we convey some of that, you know, better for you messaging, you know, through, you know, more of our products. And so it just kind of made sense from a marketing standpoint and from a brand positioning standpoint. And it's obviously something that we were, you know, that we were passionate about too, you know, as we're evolving as a company, we're trying to, you know, create, I think people like our brand because we're a family brand, because they trust us and because we're honest. And, you know, I think that we want to be able to, you know, be a company that has very limited ingredients. It's not like you're getting a 20,000 ingredient list. When you pick up our products, the products are clean, they're simple, they're easy, and they're, you know, and they're better than, you know, the thing that's made in a manufacturing, you know, warehouse somewhere in some city.
As I was reading that article, it even stated that you had a couple of employees that shed over 100 pounds during that process. But
yep.
Good for yep. them. I'm not worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
When you make something lighter, are you adding water? How do you make something that has less calories?
So there's a couple way. Adding water is one way. So if you look at like Bud Light, Busch Light, right? There's different calories, different carbs. It's the same base. There's just, you know, it's just water added. You can ferment differently. You can use different yeast to, you know, to basically chew out, you know, eat out the sugars of the ferment. Also, you know, as it relates to the carb base, whatever you kind of base your liquid with. So there's also a distillation process you can use to make those products, you know, lighter. So just depending on the tooling that you have, there's methods to do it. Water is the easiest one.
Nice. I didn't know. I was always curious.
Yeah,
I figured it was water, but when you see the commercial advertisements out there that says, oh, we've got 90 calories or whatever, we're down to...
Well, I've always wondered, because like you go to the Mick Ultra and you get like 4.5% alcohol, and you go to the Busch Light and it's 3.5 or 3.6 or something like that. And it's like, wait, they took calories down and carbs down and it's more alcohol.
Yeah, it's all a science equation, you know, and it's kind of above my pay grade anymore. But, you know, luckily we got some great brewers and cider makers and winemakers who are really good at, you know, formulating. But it's all an equation, and, you know, sugars and you know base alcohol and water, it all kind of plays.
So let's try this.
Say, Corey, hold on. What are we drinking next?
I just had a realization before you jump into this next one.
Uh-oh.
I went clear back to the introduction, and Andrew said that his dad was one of 13 kids.
Yep.
Now, listeners, this is either going to force you to go back and listen to an episode because you skipped it, or if you've already heard it, it's going to make sense. We did one on hiring, trying to find employees. That's why it's more of a focus now than it was back then. They just had kids to make a labor force rather than to go out and try and find non-relatives.
They didn't have social media or anything to put out, hey, we're hiring, need
13 kids.
And then you could just tell them what they made. You didn't have to abide by whatever
they just got a ham sandwich. If you want your ham sandwich tonight,
you want
to
eat.
Yeah.
I put this roof over your head. All right. That was my little, I had to throw that in there. So nice. Let's get into this next one, Corey.
All right. We're doing the caramel apple. And this one has a little story behind it. Looks like you guys brought it back and partnered up with Carhartt possibly. And you're doing some stuff for Detroit. Can you talk a little bit about that? And we're going to go ahead and try this while you talk about it.
Yeah. So, you know, that's part of our Kinder Cider initiative, which is basically kind of a philanthropic, you know, arm of our product mix. And basically what that is we try to partner, you know, when we release these are all kind of seasonal releases, and we all try to partner with a very, you know, a nonprofit or charity that, you know, that we align with. And, you know, Carhartt's from Detroit, you know, kind of working man city. And, you know, we're very close with them as a company. Our values, I think, align, you know, quite a bit. So, you know, we've been looking to do more philanthropic stuff within Michigan, within the city with them. We partnered with the, you know, the Urban Farming Initiative to try to bring more kind of understanding of agriculture and farming and, you know, food source, you know, education to inner cities. So, you know, it's a great cause. It's a great product, you know, great partners, and just a way that we can kind of connect with more people and expand the umbrella of doing good and you know, promoting a great product with great people.
We just tried it.
I'm having a problem here. I really wanted to find one that I didn't like to tell you in front of your face that it was not good, but I like this better than the apple pie.
I like them both. Like I'm taking these over like a seltzery. Like if I'm going away from the regular right. beer, I'm going here.
I'm waiting for the lemonade. Lemonade's my drink.
Do that one next.
What did you think of the caramel apple?
I think it's good. I like the apple pie better out of the two. If I had to pick one,
this one tastes less like a candle.
That's good.
Tastes like a candle.
No, this is really good. And you know, you said Armada, no big deal. When we first had these on, I'm pretty sure that I called it the Kinder cider, like kindergarten.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
It makes way more sense to be Kinder cider.
There you go.
So I apologize there, but this is great and a cool mission. It's always fun to have a story behind the beers that we're drinking.
And if Carhartt likes it, I mean, we got
to
like
Maybe
it.
Maybe Carhartt needs to come on the podcast.
That's right. That's what we're going to do.
You're wearing a Carhartt shirt today.
I do. I got a Carhartt shirt on. We could do that.
Yeah.
Post-show, we got to get some deets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is great. This was really good. Thanks for sharing that with us. I was super pumped. And, you know, listeners, it took us a couple weeks to get this show put together and get met up. So I'm sitting there staring at this cider in the fridge. Not tasting it, because I wanted to be as authentic as possible, not tasting it. Mm-hmm. And it was killing me.
So, Andrew, you said when we started that you are up at the lake, but you were having some time away with family and kids. You just had a new baby, correct?
Yeah. So my first child was born about a month ago, and a baby girl. And it's been awesome. It's been, you know, great addition to our family and a huge adjustment for my wife and I, as we kind of, you know, she works in the business, I work in the business, and you know, we work damn near 7 days a week most of the time. But I promised her with the baby that that we'd get away before kind of fall harvest kicks in and things really get rocking. So we're up at my we're mooching off my mom and dad at their place on the lake for a couple of days before we head back to kind of, you know, be all in through harvest. So
gotcha.
So does harvest kind of line up? Yeah, a lot of our podcast listeners are corn, soybeans, wheat, and obviously we know what the conventional harvest looks like. So when you're talking about harvest, is it kind of the same thing? All hands on deck. Everybody's just crop's ready. We got to go get it.
Yep, it's the exact same thing, man. You know, it's you know, you got to make hay when the sun shines, and you know, when the crops are ready to come off and the demand's there, you got to do it. So, you know, it's one of those things that you can't really, you guys know it, you know, you can't really explain it, but it's one of those things you live for and you love. You know, I know I do, but it's hard to kind of explain to people that aren't, you know, that aren't in it, haven't grown up with it. But you know, it's just in our blood and we love it. So, you know, we started light harvest, you know, kind of, you know, last week, maybe 10 days ago. We have, you know, on property, you know, for our events, we had a couple big events last week and the week before. We had about 10,000 people out, you know, last weekend.
10,000. That's light.
It's a light event.
Yeah. It's light. And then we'll be, you know, kind of full in on harvest right after Labor Day. And so this is just kind of a couple of days. My dad and I will probably be passing each other. I'm heading back, Thursday, and then he'll be coming up here Friday, and I'll be covering the weekend at the farm. So,
what does storage look like for apples? You know, is that cold storage? Do you just immediately juice them? How do you handle that?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of both. It's immediate juicing, you know, with certain varieties. Backing up a little bit, certain varieties hold a lot better than others. So you know, you kind of got to keep that in mind. Early season is probably not great to store, so you're juicing those right away. As you get into storage, when you get into mid and late season, those are much better to store. They have higher sugar contents, better tannin, acid profiles. So you know, when you look at that. You know, we're pressing for fresh juice and for hard cider both right away. You know, kind of all season from now through, you know, February. And really we actually press year round. And then, you know, we have cold storage, traditional cold storage, you know, and you can get some really decent shelf life out of traditional cold storage. And then we have, as we plan into, you know, kind of beyond March and the February months, we have CA storage, controlled atmosphere storage, where we store a lot of apples. But when you pull out apples from CA storage, you have to kind of take them all. You know, it's filled with nitrogen and oxygen's released. So, you know, that's kind of a, you know, those are expensive apples, but we do that for, you know, late season, you know, spring, summer, up until new harvest, you know, kind of the productions.
So you're selling some whole apples. You're not just juicing them all for cider.
That's correct.
Yep. What about when you're juicing? I mean, obviously you come up with like a, what do you call it? Pulp or something of that. Is that a byproduct? Where's that going? Is that going to like feed, or you drying it and turning it into powder? How's that work?
Yeah. So that's a great question. That's actually a big opportunity for us. You know, some goes to feed. Unfortunately we don't have enough, you know, we don't have the farmers around, you know, with the, like, you know, the right situation that need as much as we produce. And we produce a lot. You know, right now we actually use a very small amount for a cookie product that we make in our store, which is really, really good. So we do that. We have some that goes to feed, and, you know, some goes to a giant compost we have in the back of the farm. But I still think that there's a lot better of an opportunity for us to kind of, you know, create a more value added product out of that, because it is a huge byproduct that we're still not, you know, capturing the opportunity, I guess.
That would be interesting. Yeah, I didn't think about the compost side, but, you know, obviously Michigan's a little bit of ways away from central Iowa.
Right.
For you to send it down here and send it to the feedlot, or for us to spread it on our fields.
Yeah, I was just thinking from like the aronia berry industry, the ones that are doing stuff with them, you know, the juice. And obviously the juice has a direct use, but then the seeds and the skins and all that have actually a lot of really beneficial health things in them. And they'll like freeze dry it and turn it into a powder, and that can go into, you know, a lot of different smoothies and health capsules and things of that nature. So
yeah, so I still think there's a huge opportunity for us to do more with that. You know, we do spread it. We do, you know, we put it in the ground where the acids allow. You know, we do compost it. You know, we do, you know, try to, you know, offload it on the feed. But I still think there's a better, like, long-term solution for all of that, because it is a huge, you know, byproduct that we still, you know, handle a few times.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I want to jump in here first, say congratulations. I noticed when we were doing a little homework for the show that you are part of the 40 under 40.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Obviously, that lends to say what type of a business you and your family are running out there. But the other cool thing I came across, and I can't lie. So it's always intimidating when we have other podcasters on the podcast.
Yeah,
because we all don't know what we're doing. I mean, that's kind of what we find out. But you've got a podcast of your own. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, thank you. The 40 under 40 thing was cool. I think that, you know, it was during COVID, so I think they had a short roster, and so they moved north to find me. But you know, it was cool to be considered, and, you know, it's just kind of a, you know, I got the reward, but it's really, you know, all the work that our community and my family have done over the years. But, you know, I guess I'll take it for now. The podcast was, it's called Everything Borrowed. And, you know, really it's just kind of, you know, as this business has grown up and as our business has become more and more popular, you know, within, you know, the community and within the state and within the region, you know, I've had the great fortune of being connected and communicating with, you know, some really interesting people, you know, entrepreneurs, you know, artists, philanthropists, politicians. And so during COVID, it was, you know, we were one of the few spots that was able to be open with, you know, kind of large gatherings, you know, last year, because we had so many, you know, because we have acreage and we had your ability to spread out crowds. So I just thought it was a good opportunity to kind of connect with people and to communicate You know, and it's taken off. We've had really, really good success. We've had some really interesting, you know, people from professional athletes to artists to entrepreneurs. So, you know, ex NFL players. So it's just been a real blessing to kind of be able to do that. And, you know, it's been a great learning opportunity for me. I'm sure you guys deal with it. You know, you hear your ticks and things you say that you're like, yeah, damn, I didn't realize I sounded that way or I responded that way. So I feel like it's been a great learning, you know, lesson for me and has allowed me to connect with more of the community. And that was really what I was trying to do. And also be kind of a vessel for people to tell their stories and for people to tune into them.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we learned that we say fantastic a lot.
Okay, let's not say we.
You guys have started saying it.
I say it now. I picked it up.
It's more just like making fun of you.
Yeah. Hey, that's fine. You got to have something to run with. Also, it is. It's a fantastic opportunity to make fun of you.
Speaking of fantastic, let's go to the next one.
Let's do it.
Again, Blake's Hard Cider here and family company crafted on their family farm. Strawberry lemonade, the one I've been waiting for. On the sweet to dry, it's sweet, which is up my alley. We combine tart lemon with sweet ripe strawberries and finish it off with their five apple blend to bring strawberry lemonade fresh from our farm to your fridge.
It doesn't like pucker me up like I think it's like it smell like I smell it.
So after the first time we tried this on the show, I went and bought more. This is very good. This is definitely a summertime drink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like it a lot.
I had one last night at the establishment I was at.
So you cheated.
I didn't realize that we were going to be testing it today.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize it. Yeah,
that's the one I want to try. You cheated.
She says, we have. All right. Yeah, I'll take it.
The 40 under 40 thing gives me hope because I didn't make it in any of the 30 under 30s.
Same here. I thought the same thing.
Dave, you're about out.
I know. I'm about out of time. I'm in the 50
gonna be
under 50.
50 under 50.
There we go.
The clash keeps getting bigger.
At least it gets bigger, so I got more opportunity.
I didn't even think about it that way. I like that.
Oh my God, it just keeps getting
bigger. You got better odds. The older you get.
And all the 30 under 30s, they're not included because they've already been recognized.
That's pretty cool. So you guys obviously are running a pretty tight-knit business over there, working with a lot of different social media challenges. COVID was obviously something that probably affected your business in different ways. So evolving is always happening. And that is one of the characteristics of the most successful people we've talked about on a frequent basis. I want to prep you here before we close out. We got to chat for a little longer, but we always ask all of our guests, the most successful people that you know, what do they have in common? So be thinking about that. We're not going to jam you with that question right now.
Yeah, got it.
But you guys have a large festival that you usually throw out. At least that's what I think it is. When I was going through the website, you could call it Cider Days. So that probably changed during COVID. But Cider Days looks like almost I'm a freaking carnival. Like there's so much going on. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah. So that's So Cider Days we just had this past weekend. That was the 10,000 people person event this past weekend. You know, and it's a carnival. It's a party, man. It's wine drinkers, beer drinkers, cider drinkers from all over the state. You know, food trucks, vendors. It's a ticketed party that we have. You know, live music, great bands. You know, from the region. And you know, it's an opportunity for us to kind of come together and throw a party. So we're all in on trying to, you know, grow our community and expose people to our brand and what we do. Cider Days is one of many festivals we do, but it's one of the most fun ones for sure.
Nice. And the last question that I have, unless you guys have more before we get to the payoff question, is, you know, you mentioned through the podcast, you've got to meet a lot of cool people, and obviously through your company, you probably have too. Is there anybody that sticks out? One of your favorite people that you've ever got to meet?
Oh, that's a great question. I had the opportunity to meet Dan Gilbert. I got to shake his hand, talk to him quickly, who's, you know, kind of a huge, you know, figure, business figure in Michigan and in the Midwest. He owns Rocket Mortgage. He owns the Cleveland Cavaliers. And, you know, he was a real just kind of inspiring, you know, kind of business person. And I thought that he's an MSU grad. as well. And I just thought that that was a really unique, you know, opportunity as far as someone who's really, you know, done a lot with their family business and their business career. But I mean, there's so many cool people from all over. You know, I met someone the other day that, you know, from my hometown. I was at the bar sitting down and he was telling me old stories from Vietnam War. And I thought that was fucking awesome, yeah. You know? So,
yeah.
You know, I just try to take in, you know, everyone and all the opportunities to learn, you know, and kind of connect as much as possible. So, you know, it's cool meeting you guys. It's cool to fucking find, you know, some farmers from Iowa who you know, get down on podcasts.
It's yep. Awesome. Yep. That reminds me of when I asked you that question, Dave. Yep. You talked about that gentleman who was a retired farmer that had all kinds of stories related to his toy tractors. Just
yeah.
Knew everything about it. Just really interesting people. So that leads to the last question, Andrew.
Yeah. Yes,
the
sir.
Most successful people that you know, what do they all have in common?
They show up every day. I mean, you know, it's, I don't think it's overly complicated. I look at my dad, my uncle, or my two big mentors, and, you know, I try not to get too esoteric with a bunch of stuff. I look at what they do. You know, it's not that complicated. You know, they show up every day, you know, and they, you know, and they put in the work, and, you know, and that's kind of the culture that we've ingrained in our company. That's what we do. You know, we put our head down, we work hard, we don't expect things for nothing. And we know that if you work hard, you're going to, you know, that the universe provides a little bit, you know, and things work out. So it seems like the people that I look up to are the people who seem to, have put on a great living and a great life for them and their families. They show up every day, some days better than others, you know, and that's okay. But to me, that seems to be, you know, one of the common threads I can see.
I like it. That was a good answer.
Show up every day unless you're at the lake.
Well, then you can still show
then
up.
Get on the, then you
he
still
is still
up.
Promoting right now.
Get on the podcast.
He's here. He's showing up.
Yeah. Yep. I loved it. This was a cool opportunity. I'm glad that you took the time to sit down on the deck and hang out with us for an hour. Not very often do we get the opportunity to talk to the man of an alcohol company. So cool to get the perspective. It's a farm at its root and has a really cool byproduct that comes out of that. Can't thank you enough for jumping on the podcast. Listeners, don't forget about BW Fusion, BW-Fusion.com for all your microbiologicals when it comes to your crops. Corey's going to have some good fall updates for us. And don't forget to like, rate, review, and share this podcast with all your friends. Not only would we appreciate that, but Andrew would also appreciate that. Go out there and get yourself a Blake's Hard Cider.
I bet BW Fusion would have some good products for all 42 of those crops.
I bet they would.
Be interesting. Mm-hmm. I know they're getting into like the turf side of things
right.
too. So
some microbiologicals that can get out there and make us some even crispier apples.
There you go. Well, better get back to your family. Good luck with a new baby.
Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you guys having me on, and I look forward to catching up with you guys again soon.
Yeah, if you ever get down to Iowa, come in studio.
Hey, I go pheasant hunting in South Dakota every year, and I drive right through. So
there you go. Nice.
There we go.
That's great. Corey, why don't you send us out?
Yep. Crack a Blake's Hard Cider. You deserve it.
Intro music recorded by Tyler Richton and the High Bank Boys. Commentary added by Elena Montemagni. And credit to bensound.com for music.